Greetings, welcome, aloha. This is Dr. Kevin, and my email, Dr. Kevin spelled out, the number 4, the word life, at gmail.com. All lowercase, Dr. Kevin for life at gmail.com. Please give me questions or ideas, and we look to, in the near future, having some live online questions and answers or dialogue, some kind of like a group meeting, however we're able to at a definite prearranged time. This is episode 7 of 2020, Be Prepared for Coronavirus, and being produced by the Branham Brothers. The episode 7 is Better Fluids in Our Body Weight. Most of us have a problem with maintaining a decent weight. Most are too much in weight category, and a few of us are even too little. You can tell with a trained eye what is the difference between people that are both underweight or overweight. The deficiency of potassium, we're going to discuss that at great length, and then how to monitor your body fluid through something as simple on the outside as your blood pressure cuff. Reviewing what we discussed in the last episode in particular, as well as a little bit previously about fats and oils. The last episode we discussed that there are about 30 to 35 trillion T, that's a T trillion, cells in your body. And that the element potassium is the director or the governor of taking all of the food that we break down in our digestive system and start to absorb it, and directing all of that tiny microscopic world of nutrients and substance into our cells to be used and become part of what is the life force in us. In the universal yin and yang of nature with potassium, potassium is the collector, the concentrator, the organizer to put life into the reservoir of the ocean of life. And then potassium inside the human body does the exact reverse of that, or opposite, which is to take that and to distribute it out into the far reaches and the tiniest places and corners of the cells of our body. To again make sure we understand the barrier or the gate system that our body has with all of its trillions of cells, we have organized openings or channels that let the good stuff in and keep the bad stuff out, is the simple way to put it. And these channels are what exist in the cell membrane, which is made up of a sandwich of an inner and an outer layer that is sort of flexible and more fatty acid or lipid or oily in nature. And the two inner and outer layers are kept apart from touching or gluing onto each other, sticking as it were, by the protein sticks or studs or separations. And then those proteins are also what contribute to the makeup of the channels or tunnels or the things that can get the things to transport into and out of the cell. Potassium then is the governor of the cell inside to get the good stuff in. Potassium is in large quantity inside of the cells. On the outside, the element that is mirroring or parallel to the potassium pulling power in, there is sodium, which is the pulling power that is going out of the cells. The balance between the potassium on the inside and the sodium on the outside is what results in a healthy or a sicker body weight and body fluid level. And as I reviewed in the last episode 6, the body fluid is about 60% of our body weight. If we contemplate or consider what was the most ideal body weight that we may have had in our life, if it was a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, a young adult, whenever it might have been, or when we worked on a really good fitness program, the 60% body weight should be figured ideally at an ideal or pretty optimum weight. If you're supposed to weigh 150 pounds, then about 90 pounds of your body weight would be the fluids. When you look at a lot of people that are overweight, they have both a lot of fluid, which is not obvious to the trained eye, and their fat storage around organs and around the different folded areas of the body, whether it's arms, legs, or the trunk and neck. When you look at people that have a deficiency of body fluid, then they have sunken eyeballs. They have kind of a drawn-out look on their expression in their face, like it's a little bit too hollow. They have a little bit too skinny fluid level to make the hand look like it's a little wrinkled, or to see the forearm is a little bit too prominent with the bones on it. And the same thing with the legs. It can be that a person has really, really got some deficiency signs where the blood vessels tend to stick out more, especially on the legs. Those are all indicators of the body fluid not being balanced well. The cell fluid, then, that 60% should be made up of about 25 quarts in a 150-pound person's body, about 55% of the cell fluid inside the cells, and then about 45% of the cell fluid that's outside the cells. And looking at the blood, that portion of the 45% outside of the cells of body fluid, it's all kept inside of the blood vessels as plasma, which makes up anywhere from about 10 or 11 in a smaller person to 16 or 17 or even 18 pints of blood. And the blood volume is something that is directly indicated by a person's blood pressure. When there tends to be a higher blood pressure, the number is usually above 125 or 130. And then the lower number of the blood pressure is the pause that's in between when the heart is squeezing out. So the higher number is when the heart is pushing or shoving the blood out into the body. And then the pause or the rest is when the heart is pausing on the pushing of the blood out into the body. And when you take those two numbers of the blood pressure, the upper one systolic and the lower one diastolic, you subtract the two, so you subtract the lower one from the upper one, and you get what's called the pulse pressure. The pulse pressure is kind of like the ideal pressure that should be in your plumbing. When you measure it in your water pipes in your house, it's supposed to be around 40 pounds. And in the blood pressure, the pulse pressure, after subtracting those two numbers, should be a similar number, about 40 millimeters of mercury. That is the standard in looking at the blood pressure. When it spreads apart, the farther apart that it gets, the more dangerous that means that the situation is with both the blood pressure and the body fluid. And the other direction, if it would be too close together, it's again an indication in particular that that person usually does not have enough fluid in their body in general. In addition to the blood pressure, we can look at the back of our hand when it's relaxed, sitting on our thigh or on a piece of furniture next to us, and we pinch the skin on the back of our hand to see how quickly that the skin drops and spreads out. It should happen almost instantly in a second or two. And when you don't have enough potassium in particular, it tends to stay up there and to stay in a ridge. And I've seen many people when they get older especially, or when they're not in very good health, that you pinch the skin on the back of the hand like that, and it stays elevated or ridged for a minute, minute and a half even, before it finally goes down. That is a really, really serious indicator. Other things that indicate the potassium situation in the body, and just about all of these have to do with potassium deficiencies, because that is the number one deficiency in the human body in general. We can look at your ring finger or your rings on your fingers, and if you have experienced some days when the rings are tighter and other days when they are looser, when that fluctuation is happening, it's a sign that you don't have really good maintenance or governing of your body fluid. Another sign is a dry mouth. Even if you drink or sip a little water or fluid or beverage, and a few minutes later it's dry again. The craving of sweets that tend to happen in so many people, especially in between meals, they don't realize it, but that is tied to a craving for something as simple as potassium. Because when people replenish and get more potassium than they normally are aware of or can realize that they can do better, then those cravings start to go away and they just realize, what is going on here? And the answer is, it's potassium is the magic nutrient that is deficient. Another one is that you lose your sense of taste and sense of smell. Some of that acuity or ability is directly related to things like potassium deficiency throughout all the trillions of cells in our body. Another big one for people as they get middle-aged or older, overweight especially, is when they sleep at night and their spouse or partner talks about how they are snoring so loudly, so much, so noisy. And one of the reasons for that is this potassium deficiency and the severe fluid imbalance in their body. And finally, when you look at the neck of a person and it looks like it's got some fold in it or double chins, looking at the arms, especially the back side of the arms or the top side of the forearm, on the back of the palm, and then your belly area, if it's got extra folds in it, if it's not symmetrical where it comes at the same angle on both sides but it's different on one side from the other, the waist likewise, the legs and the calves, and then finally in the ankles and the feet and the toes, and even in the fingers again, like we mentioned in the beginning, all these are linked to this potassium deficiency. When we review the potassium quantity in the body, if you were to cremate a human body, you get about a little less than 0.5% of their body weight is what would be made up of potassium in the ash left over from cremation. And that's in a healthy person. In people that are not so healthy, there is less potassium. The number one ingredient, or number one and number two ingredients in the ashes, are calcium and phosphorus. And then potassium is supposed to be number three. But it is very low and very deficient in many, many people. One of the ways to look at the body fluid and how the balance is to measure with litmus paper, a special piece of test paper that you can put it in your mouth to measure your saliva on the tip of your tongue or the side of your mouth, or to dip it in a little bit of it into a sample of urine that you would catch. And you look at the pH or the acid alkalinity in gradient or measurement of that sample. In general, the mouth should never, ever be acid. And I've checked many, many people and they have acid saliva. That means that that person is way, way, way out of whack with their body fluid and their pH. And then the same with the urine, it should never be alkaline. And So the colors on the litmus paper are blue-green for the saliva, especially, or the alkaline sample that you're measuring. And then in the urine, it's usually slightly greenish-yellowish or a little bit more yellowish orangish, depending on how more the acid level is in it. To add to this, then, is how do we increase the efficiency, the ability of the body to morph or adapt, especially the cells, and the cell membrane is at the heart of all of this. When you have poor repair of your cells, when you get cuts or bruises or lumps and bumps, all of the ability of your body to repair efficiently and quickly, to grow fingernails well and fast, to grow hair nicely, to have the skin grow out and to be looking nice colored, all of this has to do with the cell membrane in your body. The layering of the cell membrane, as I said before, is the sandwich of the lipid or fat and oily natured stuff on the inner part and on the outer part, with the proteins in between. In measuring a sample of your blood as a further way of looking into what your body is made up of, there are two kinds of cholesterol that people commonly have had measured or tested: the so-called good cholesterol and the so-called bad cholesterol. In reality, they both are necessary or good for you if you have a body that's functioning ideally or optimally. And the good cholesterol, then, is usually low in most people. It is a direct indicator of the stress load or the ability of a person to regenerate and to have vitality and to really recuperate and to recharge in life. That is one of the main ingredients that goes into the cell membrane. It's also one of the main ingredients that makes up the insulation of all the nerves in the body. So if you have a low good cholesterol or HDL cholesterol, high density cholesterol, that means a lot of that stuff is being used up or it's not being made. When you look at the other one, the LDL or the low density cholesterol, that one is actually a necessary one also, but it's meant to have a different purpose, and that is to take the calories, which in most people is a lot of carbohydrates in some way, shape, or form, that the body makes into longer chains or pieces of things and hooks it all together to make this low-density cholesterol or fatty substance that doesn't have as much protein on it that the good one does. And it's meant to transport that long chain of stuff to your muscles and to your body areas to be burned as fuel. So that's kind of a quick rundown of how that happens. Let's look at the deficiency of potassium now from a standpoint of doing something about it by going first to think about, where do we get the potassium from? The potassium is very, very abundant in all the plant kingdom. It's also very rich in cow's milk or dairy products. And when a person looks at how much potassium they should try to get, they need to try to get about 4,000 to 5,000 milligrams in their daily diet. That is the most abundant nutrient besides the larger protein, carbohydrates, and fats. That's the most abundant single nutrient that the body needs. Most people are lucky to get 1/4 or 1/3 of that most of their lives. And that imbalance is what leads to a lot of the chronic illness and stagnation and the sickness and the weakness that underlies most people's bodies. That is a huge, huge factor or ingredient in all of this worldwide global concern and interest now that's being pointed at every one of us in relation to how we are resisting or succumbing to the coronavirus, or any virus for that matter. This is so very, very important. I've challenged many, many, many people, especially if they are not on prescriptions, to start to supplement or take potassium additionally. And the easiest way to get potassium as a supplement is to buy a different kind of salt that is a blend of potassium and sodium salt, about 55% to 45% of potassium to sodium, so that you never ever get this extra sodium that so many people are used to getting in their prepared foods in their convenience foods and what they add to their own recipes, because they always put salt in. I'm telling people everywhere they should change that behavior, and they add potassium to their recipes and not just salt, salt, salt. So the blend of the potassium sodium is called Light Salt by Morton's. That's one of the ingredients or products out there. There's another one called Low Salt from the United Kingdom. And then there are 100% potassium salts only, such as New Salt or No Salt. Those are a couple of the brands out there. And all of these have an incredible effect on you. If you are on prescriptions, again, I urge and advise everyone to go at this with the advice or wisdom of a good doctor or consultant that is expert and skilled in this. And the blood pressure cuff that I talked about a little bit ago is one of the best tools to be able to look at how this fluid load is being managed at the outer portion of it that the blood and the heart is governing and controlling. When you look at the spread between the numbers, as I said, it needs to be about 40. And when it gets higher and higher and higher, it's directly related to some kind of failure in the management of that fluid load. The heart is going to be abused and overworked in that situation. And then the kidneys usually have a burden placed on them, because they are the organs that are supposed to regulate your blood pressure by altering and changing different things to try to make the pH of your body different and to get the fluid down to a more manageable, proper, or ideal level. The blood pressure cuff is also a way to monitor your progress. Another addition to the blood pressure cuff is to simply stand on your weight scale, and you don't even have to have the ashamed frustration or embarrassment of even what actually the number is. I tell people, ignore that if you want, and simply stand on the scale and then put a minus or a plus point from some kind of a starting point that you are on, and then keep tracking that. When people do nothing in their entire lifestyle with regard to exercise or changing diet or anything, but they start to increase their potassium intake, and adding it to water is a simple way to do it, just a little quarter of a teaspoon in a cup of water, for example, of potassium-rich salt, then they watch and they can see that their body weight change starts to go down day after day after day if they are too deficient. If they don't have enough body weight, it starts to go up. And that is, again, reflected right away when you add this potassium to people, because just about everybody universally is deficient in it. I have monitored and measured literally hundreds of people dietarily, as well as by blood and lab work and so forth, and pH testing, and I have found hardly anybody has an adequate amount of potassium. Thank you again. This is Dr. Kevin at drkevinforlife@gmail.com, and we look forward to the next episode.